The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. If you'd like to listen to bonus episodes, go sign up to the Patreon. That's patreon.com. We f***ed that. Anyway, you'll find a way. Hello and welcome to this episode of the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan, coming to you live from, I think it's Charlotte. This was the apparently best flight home. I looked it up. I couldn't see a better flight at the time. But I've been in, where was I? Ooh, Houston. We did Houston at the start of the week. And then we went on to St. Louis. Wonderful, beautiful St. Louis. Of which I got to see none, because we got to go in and do the show. And then there was a show in Omaha last night. That's broken. That's annoying. That's all the seats in the world. And that's one. Anyway, last time I had to cancel my show in Omaha, which was very depressing because the flight got delayed and it wouldn't have got me in time. And this time, last night in St. Louis, we looked it up. Eve's opening for me. A warning, Eve will show up at some point. And I think she's bringing fudge. So you'll get to hear me. We'll see if the podcast is long enough without me eating fudge to stretch it out. Anyway, I had to cancel that show in Omaha. And then last night for the repeat show, which we sold like twice as many tickets to the repeat show. We sold an extra show because some time had passed and the new special came out. And I'm very grateful to everybody. But we noticed the flight had also been delayed from St. Louis and that was going to jeopardize the Oklahoma. Why did I say Oklahoma? I said it because it starts with an O. The Omaha show. Omaha, very important. Omaha, home of the Reuben sandwich and the ski lift. Home of JoJo Siwa, Malcolm X, and who's that good actor? Marlon Brando. Two of the most charismatic men of the 20th century came from Omaha, Nebraska. How you like that? I think Matthew Schmitz is also from Omaha. Anyway, that had a big football loss. Anyway, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. We had to drive. We had to get a rental car in St. Louis, and we had to drive up from St. Louis to Omaha. Well, I guess it wasn't that good a story. It felt good at the time. It was like 6.5 hours. I had to go real early in the morning. Anyway, then the Omaha shows, and the Omaha shows were wild. Well, the second Omaha show was wild. The first Omaha show was too early, you know. First one was at 6, the second one was at 9:15. Hot tip for me going to Omaha next time, do a show at 8. Split the difference. Omaha was not drunk enough at 6 and was much, much too drunk at 9:15. Or whenever I took the stage after the opening act, there was a woman who, she exposed her breasts, not once but twice. She stood up and chatted and got her boobs out, which is the sort of thing you always hope will happen until it does. And then you go, ah, it's not a great time, madam. You'll have to put those away. And she was not kicked out. I mean, I was up there saying, wow. Just trying to send a quiet hint, you know, going, that's the sort of behavior that gets a person kicked out of most shows. And then when she did it again, it's like, you're still here. All right. Interesting. Hello. Anyway, now we're at the airport going back. Our home to Austin and then many more shows. Gosh, I should promote them. It would be remiss if I didn't tell you where I was going next. I think I'm going to Indianapolis. I'm going to Springfield, Missouri. I'm going to the Big Diamond Comedy Festival in Bentonville. I am going to, and these are not any, Las Vegas, Irvine, L.A., and Baltimore. And that gets us to October. So if you would please come, or tell somebody to come. I mean, the shows before that were fairly wild. I think in Houston, people were throwing zins at me, and I have the footage of it, but I won't release it because I don't want it to become... I mean, I asked for it. But getting harder to do the podcast in public. I think that sweet gentleman did... I was so tired. I didn't sleep properly last night. We got to this airport, this Charlotte airport, and I'll tell you what I did. I said, Eve, I wonder if they have those napping rooms. And she said, oh, I think we should go, and I think you should pay $120 to get us both into the lounge. And I said, I might just have to go and take a nap. And she went, take a nap in the lounge. I said, I'm going to the napping room. And I'm sure it would have been very nice for us to go to the lounge. But when we get back into town, Eve gets to sit on her own. And I get to look after a huge number of small people. So I put my foot down. I said, Eve, I'm not napping. I'm going to the napping room. And the smell of cum. They have these rooms where you can pay like $60 and they give you an hour on an uncomfortable bed. An uncomfortable bed, not too uncomfortable. But I will say one of the best pillows. Was I just super tired or was it an incredibly good pillow? I'll never know. But the pillow really got me where I needed to go. Which was not to ejaculate. Although other people had clearly been using the room for that purpose. I just took a nap. And I dreamt as I have not dreamt. I won't go on and on about it because someone talking about their dreams is... It's one of the least pleasant things. It's so boring. It's so boring. Someone comes into the office after a long day, you know. After a long day. Well, they don't come into the office after a long day. They come in the morning. You know when you're in the office? In the morning time. That's when people are usually in the office. And, you know, a lady will come in and she'll go, oh, my goodness, you were in my dream last night. And you go, all right. Well, time to tolerate this anecdote. / come on. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about anyone's dreams. I don't want you to have to hear about my dream. I only bring it up to tell you that since I've been in America, I might have had no more than 3 dreams. And when I do dream, they're usually, again, I dare not go into detail about my dreams because I can't imagine that would be exciting for anybody. But you know, like they're like dreaming about my taxes or arriving at a show on time. And this was a real vibrant, exciting, pleasurable, not too pleasurable, don't you worry about that. And the cum, well, get in here then. Where's this fudge? Have you brought us fudge? You don't have to record it. We are recording it. It's closed. Eve hopping on the mic, ready to carry this podcast through until we leave. We are regrettably on the entirely wrong side of this airport, but I'm sure we'll get where we need to go in no more than 20 minutes.
The fudge place was open before at about 10 in the morning and is currently, I think they're at lunch, which is unacceptable.
It's more of a breakfast fudge place.
Yeah, I've eaten there once before at a low point, and I have to say it was incredible. I think that the day I ate there was the day after Tony Hinchcliffe spoke at the Republican National Convention.
Yes, I did kill Tony that night.
Right, I was here. I'm in this horrible airport.
I'm sorry I didn't give you the clean mic cover. That one's got a stain on it.
Cool, I didn't even notice, but now I'll be thinking about
it. It'll be a wholesome sort of fudge-related stain.
But I was walking through this airport, and I kept hearing people watching the set as I walked through. And it was weird.
Really hard to get a set to go that viral as a comic.
And I think that was still in the gray.
Not since Louis spoke about flying through the air. or Bill Burr talk about Chris Brown's many reasons for smacking Rihanna about.
Right.
As a bit of stand-up popped that way.
But yeah, I was here, and it was at still in the zone where no one knew if Tony had thrown the election for Trump. That was the vibe.
Wasn't that incredible? And then he did better than they thought with Hispanics.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
I think it's hard to tell with these things, but people overall, I find most people
don't care about anything.
With the exception of whites.
Right.
Don't like being pandered to.
And Jews love it, though.
Some Jews. I mean, sometimes I'll pander to the Jews. And I'll go, gosh, you're so good with money and choosing meals. And Eve will go like, you know, Eve will start dancing and shaking her butt
around. No one's
ever
accused me of being good with money, but good with choosing food, yeah.
You're good at keeping track of money. Not good at having a lot of it.
Yeah, I'm good at keeping track of the money that you owe me, yes.
And Eve goes, thank you, yes, I am. But some Jewish people go, well, what do you mean by that? Exactly, you know, they'll get very if they don't know
you. They get kind of Jewy about it.
You can say that. But as a white, certainly when any people of color come to me and they say, thank you for all the inventions, thank you for the democracy.
People say that too, yeah?
Sometimes I'll be traveling around Cambodia and a little shoeless boy will come up to me and he'll say, the airplane, that was your people? And I'll say, yes, Chimlon.
Chimlon.
I don't know.
Did you talk about your nap already?
Yes. Yeah.
And the scent?
Yes, I told Eve about how it reeked of cum.
And then you had weird dreams.
I make a point of not telling my dreams.
Yeah, I won't divulge what it was.
It was
a good
dream.
Was it? That didn't sound good to me.
Really?
Yeah. They were cum dreams.
Wasn't a cum dream.
But I mean, they're inspired by.
It wasn't inspired by coming. I was
no,
urinating.
I'm saying the smell of cum in
the
room.
Oh, you think the smell of cum
had an effect on your dreams? Probably. I would guess.
What I dreamt was that I was made of cum. And in a sense, we're all made of cum.
Yes, for sure.
We're all half made of cum. We're all half eggs. Well, we're all going for a walk on big peg legs.
Oh, there's a camera going.
Yes.
God, I wish I'd known that.
Did you not know that?
No, I didn't realize that. This whole time I'm like practically picking my nose.
I think the video element gets the YouTube people in. I mean, we are dilapidated after this run.
Yes, there was an intense...
It's hard, the road. You managed to make it to a gym once. I didn't manage to do one bit of exercise.
If we had been able to fly into Omaha yesterday instead of driving 7 hours, I would have gone to the gym. Mm. And also the pool at that hotel was much nicer than one would expect. It was an okay hotel.
I had thought the Holiday Inn would have a small pool, but I am well pleased.
It was a Hampton Inn.
Whichever kind of inn.
But you should know because
I was getting out.
You love the Hamptons. So the fact that it's a Hampton.
Nothing could be less like the Hamptons than a Hampton Inn.
It's true.
You know what Eve did that was very good?
What'd I do?
We, on Tuesday, we drove down to Houston, and it was me and Joseph Green and CJ Landry and Eve. Three fellas, one lady. And Eve said, we're going early. We're going to they have a special Korean spa.
Korean sauna.
Yeah.
That's what they call it in Korea.
And we went, oh, what happens in there? And Eve said something like, there's the jojoba.
Jim Jobang.
There's the Jim Jabingle. Jim Jamjury. You're going to love it. And we said, okay. Well, so we went.
I did explain to you ahead of time that you guys would have to be... Well, everyone gets naked, but the men are together. The women are together.
We didn't really think about it.
Right. And I did tell you. And then I gave you the
there
option.
There was no little hole in the wall.
I know. Yeah. And I didn't take any photos. But as we got about 10 minutes away, CJ started to really freak out. We were driving. He interrupted what we were saying. And he goes, all right, I need to know what we're about to do. Am I about to get naked with a bunch of men?
Yes.
And I said, yeah.
So we all got, anyway, all the boys, we got naked.
Yeah.
And
I was alone and naked with the strangers.
They have like a cold plunge. They have some hot tubs filled with some sort of...
Mugwort.
Yes.
Mugwort.
A Korean wellness...
Yeah.
Wort.
And then there's the steam room.
Steam room and the sauna.
And the sauna.
And a big, weird, cold shower that the water comes down too hard. And then afterwards, you go into a nice, relaxing area where you can eat something.
The Jim Jabang. So the Jim so that's the nude part.
I wanted to... Yes, the Jim Jabang is mixed.
The Jim Jabang is clothed, yeah.
But anyway, we all get our, you know... We all get our penises out. No one's looking at each other's penises. We're all being very careful.
If I'd been on that side, I would have snuck a peek.
I got about 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Of starting to relax.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty uptight. And then after all, you go, oh, no one's looking at my dick.
Yeah.
This is not a sexual place.
No.
We're all having a great, you know, yeah. I'm just in the cold. I'm having a splash in the cold or in the hot. And then a very gay guy came with me. You know, there's a lot of stations. We've described the stations.
Yeah.
It's about 8 stations.
Yeah.
He was with me for 3 in a row. And then later a 4th. And then a brief break and then a 4th.
I wish I could have seen this
guy. We're together in the hot tub.
Yeah.
Just naked boys. It's a big tub. You can sit away from each other. And CJ's there the whole time going, I wish this water was cloudy. And then the gay guy gets in. You know, it was pretty gay.
Yeah.
He was gay and he was smiling and he was friendly. And then I go into the cold plunge, and then he comes over into the cold plunge and keeps kind of talking to me.
Yeah, the gays love you.
But he's like, he was sort of, I won't say bouncing, but he was like a little crouching, because the water came up to your waist standing.
Yes.
And he would sort of crouch down to get his, roughly where I thought, I wasn't looking, but it looked like he was just dipping his penis repeatedly into the cold water near me.
Really? So it was that low for you? Because for me, the cold plunge...
He was hitting me with these.
The cold plunge on the women's side is much higher. It goes up to like above your, maybe like your boob thing. It's more of a pool.
Yeah, I would come up to like here.
Right. I remember looking down in the cold pool and being like, my boobs.
And it followed me back into the hot tub.
My boobs looked great in the cold pool.
Well done you.
Thank you.
I remember the whole time thinking, oh no, my dick is stuck on small. After the cold plunge, I was like, oh, these gay guys on my dick, man. I was touched that the gay guy, I wasn't touched by the gay guy, but I was touched that the gay guy was interested in me, because I obviously didn't look at anybody's genital.
Right.
But, CJ and
Joseph
is a muscular, used to be a quarterback.
Did he?
And Joseph
CJ?
Used to be a model.
Yes.
And those are the fellas with me. And this gay guy was interested in me. I mean, that makes a fella feel special.
You're a bear. That's what they would call you.
Please.
That's what they would say. You're a bear.
I'm a plus size twink.
Yeah.
And, but then I got into the sauna. And there were like three. There's like benches here and benches there. These mm-hmm. benches are a little higher up. And so the three boys are sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm in the middle.
Right.
The other side up here.
You're at street level.
We're all naked. We're sitting on towels, but we're naked.
Yeah.
And then the guy comes in,
mm-hmm.
and maybe he wasn't gay, but he was acting in a supremely gay type of way.
Yeah,
and
he
sat
was
on
gay.
The other side,
yeah,
right at my dick level.
James, you have
having a chat.
You have a magnetism to you. Maybe he's a fan of the podcast.
It was nice to feel wanted.
Maybe he saw you on Kill Tony.
It didn't feel threatening.
Yeah.
But I then eventually got out to the steam room, and I had a little bit of a breakthrough in the steam room. Like a bit of a mental breakthrough. I got into some zone, mm-hmm. some horrible zone, because there's this light on the wall and it's all steamy.
Yeah.
I was just looking at the light, and then I almost like meditative started to spaz out. It's calm, but it's like, oh, this is taking care of the body.
Right.
this is not the point of being alive. It was a real, like, strong, like, I know for a lot of people.
Well, you've never done that before.
To take care of the body?
Never one time since I've known you.
I very much got the sense that this was an auxiliary thing for health.
Yeah.
This is nice to do, and there's I don't see a reason not to do it. But that the soul being healed is the important thing.
But that's it happens.
The body being hot and cold is nice, but
no. But it's related. It's for sure related. I rarely feel as good as after the sauna.
I felt so good. I thought it would compromise the show.
But if anything, you had a really good show, and maybe what does that tell you? That maybe
I hit a woman in the head with a Zin tin.
Oh yeah, well that
I
was
threw a Zin tin at it. Someone had thrown it at me, and I missed him, and I hit a lady.
Well, because he threw it at you first.
I asked for someone to throw them to
but
me.
But he
then
threw
he
it.
Really pelted.
Yeah,
it.
He did it.
And then I really pelted it. And then
and
I
you
had
pelted
to get
it
her
at her face
at me again.
Yeah,
and I gave her a cuddle. And madam, if you're watching, I'm so sorry. I'd had a strange day. Yeah. It's been a big week, and the time goes on. I feel like I can snap back for the shows. I can be vibrant for the shows, but in between shows, I have less and less that I can give.
Have you talked about the shows the last couple of days?
Yes, but let's talk about them from your point of view.
Okay, yeah. What do you mean? Like, what did I think of it?
How are you doing as my opener? Incredible pressure that comes with that.
I'm working it out, you know. I think it's been a long time since I had a show shows that felt as meaningful and important to my career.
I think you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
I think in three of the four, you've had really great sets.
With the first one in St. Louis.
You warmed up.
Oh, that was hard, the first one.
Hey, they're good to board again.
For Cancun. There was a flight that just left to Cancun a few minutes ago.
People can't stop going to Cancun.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, I hate to say this because it's really... Thank you. It's very flattering, and I hate to...
I don't care how many people write to me saying, get her off the tour. I think you're doing great. Walked some people last night who I didn't want at the show.
I didn't walk anyone.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, you mean I didn't walk them. They got kicked out during my set.
They were so unhappy, they were forced to leave.
They were heckling the host, and then they heckled me. Listen, just because I have a bit of pro-rape material...
It developed last night into about 9 minutes of pro-rape
material.
Exactly.
Exaggerating, and fortunately, I have a recording of it, and I will time it, and I will make you listen to all of it with me. But no, they were really drunk. I don't know.
It's the real rape.
Did you hear what they were arguing about? What they were saying when they got kicked out?
They were trying to stay.
No, but what were they saying that got them kicked out? Were they yelling about the rape?
I'm not
jokes?
Sure. The staff thought that they were on ecstasy.
They were fucked from the very beginning, and I saw someone go over there and shush them. But you want me to keep the people who next time I want.
No, I'm thanking you.
Yeah,
you
it sounded like
out.
A real thank you, didn't it?
Oh my
but
goodness!
What I was gonna say.
You see, most openers
that,
don't act like this.
Yeah.
Most openers are different and make your life easier.
Most
but
openers
Eve lets
don't,
you know that she's a burden.
Most openers don't take care of your children. Don't go and return
stars.
The rental car when you're on stage.
The answer here should be, I'm sorry, I'll try to be better. There's always an answer.
My answer is, oh, sorry, I forgot to tell you to go fuck yourself. No, I wouldn't say that to you because we're friends, but I will definitely never be deferential. Ever. Except for your advice about stand-up.
I was like you. I burnt the bridges.
Yes.
I closed the doors. I told people why I was better than they were.
I've never said that.
No, I'm working on a poem now.
Wait, so the thing I was going to say...
This has developed into me writing a poem.
About me, from my perspective.
No, it's, you know, it could be about anybody.
What I was going to say is that I hate to admit that you actually really do give great advice about comedy, and that was why the second show in St. Louis was so good for me.
No, I make the moves. I hold the cards. I know how to do the performance arts.
Oh, this is the poem? This is the poem?
We're still on the poem.
Okay.
Would you like to hear the fixed version of a poem I wrote on the plane?
So you've worked on it more?
Yeah, I worked on it after you went to sleep on the plane.
Okay.
Okay, here's a new poem for everybody. Boom, 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 boom. This will be in my new book of poems, which was called Giving Big Papi, but it's now called, temporarily, it's called Vendetta.
I thought the poem is called Vendetta.
No, no. The book of Vendetta. Sorry, these are all part of Vendetta.
Okay, got it.
But I don't like the movie V for Vendetta.
That's what I thought of when I saw Vendetta. It's
funny to have a different letter for Vendetta. Maybe like J for Vendetta.
That's okay.
Manifesto will be my manifesto.
That's a really good name.
Here it is.
J so, for, Ven- for Vendetta,
and
I don't
about
like.
No one, no one in particular.
G for Vendetta?
Z for Vendetta.
Z for Vendetta, okay. Go ahead.
Something is wrong with this man's soul. It is an obviously munted soul. Surely other people, even those with putrid, nasty souls, can see that this man's soul, what's left of it, is deeply and profoundly mangled. Yes. He's saying things we all agree with 80% of the time. Fine. But it's dribbling out sick and ugly from his yucko mind and soul. He rapes. You know he rapes. He'll rape. Excuse me, I am answering the question. I am. I let you speak uninterrupted. I'd ask that you give me the same courtesy. Is it sufficiently obvious that someone's speaking in a debate?
No. It is. It's a great poem, but I think you might need one or two.
What time's our boarding?
We're good. We've got 20 minutes until... 20, 30 minutes. 30 minutes until boarding, I think.
Okay, we can do another 15. Yeah.
Our flight leaves at 1:11.
I've been working on some other pods, but I've been doing them at the 12. Shows. And, that one only has the R-A-P-E word in it because you've been doing it so much on stage.
Yeah, I know. I'm rubbing off on you.
Yes, that's part of the problem. I'm being raped by Eve.
It's crazy how much you like begged me to come and help out your family, and then you go, "Oh, what a burden, such a burden every day." Eve, you're doing a great job. Eve, you're a burden. That's okay. I know.
You can do both.
I know what's going on inside.
I am the great straight white millennial man of arts and letters. I've read books by brown old lesbians.
Cancun.
Well, we'll skip that poem. Whatever happened to tapestries? It's a shorter poem.
That's the whole poem.
Here's one I worked on about my childhood.
Okay.
What are we? Declassé, lower upper middle class, conservative bohemian, the proto nouveau riche? Are we lumpen bourgeoisie? Are we English speaking kulaks? I don't think we are aristocrats. I only know the names of two knives and three spoons. Are we gypsies? Are we peasants? Muslim, Christian, pagan, nothing, Jew? Are we blood and soil transplants? Are we rooted cosmopolitans?
That's so funny. Having met your father, I completely understand that poem.
Should we have children? And if so, when and how many and with whom? How many children at which ages should be forced to share a room? If war breaks out, are we the sort of people who do the fighting, do nothing, or spy? Do we pay our taxes? Do we believe in taxes? Do we buy caged eggs or not? I cut that bit from the poem. There are people in the bushes partaking in abject bush wretchedness, deeply upsetting bush activities, babies, cripples, and the elderly.
See, the babies, cripples, and the elderly throws me off at the end of that poem, but... Because before that, I go, oh, I think I know what they're doing in the bushes. And then I go, babies, cripples, the elderly.
It's a poem about working door-to-door Foxtel. This is cable television salesman. And I would go out into poverty-ass country towns and knock on the doors of the saddest people in the world.
Do you ever wonder if any of those people go... I think I saw that guy on
Not one
TV.
Of them is together enough to remember where I am and what I'm doing. Yeah. But I remember them. They stay with me.
That's true.
That was a real wake-up call into who makes up the country.
In Australia.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because when you're out and about, you get a false positive of how well people are doing. Even though out and about, everyone's like, I'm not doing well. It's not going badly. It's the people who aren't out and about. You got to knock on the doors and open them up.
Someone waved to you?
I know. She was looking at... I'm sitting behind the arrivals board, and she was frowning and looking at the arrivals board, and I thought she didn't like me. I saw such things working door-to-door cable television. Sales.
I did door-to-door, too.
How was your, where did you do door-to-door?
I did door-to-door for political campaigning and fundraising. I did door-to-door for Obama, which was actually really fun because
fault.
People
Which
were...
State?
Florida.
Oh.
Right at the end. People were really excited. But then I was like, wow, some of these people are really poor. And then some of these people were disgusted.
I want to say.
And they were like, yeah, he's a communist.
It's the poverty of spirit that I had the greatest problem with.
Right. So these people were
these
not
people
like that.
All had more money than me.
Right.
All of
really?
Them.
And
this
still
was
the
this
miserable?
The poorest I have ever been.
And I've seen you poor.
I had.
But do you have any kids at that point?
I had no kids.
Yeah.
So I guess I have been poorer. But I didn't have debt.
Okay.
But I was like out of uni.
Yeah.
Doing stand-up comedy. My parents did not want me living at home anymore.
Right. How old do you think you were?
19. 20.
You were out of uni at 19 or 20? No, oh, you dropped
no,
out. You dropped
no.
out.
I did drop out, but yeah. I went back. No, sorry. Early 20s.
Okay.
Early 20s. And it had become, you know, friction. I think it's great for kids to stay at home. Our family home was designed by a Hungarian Jew called Mr. Sarg,
wow.
who had escaped the Nazis before the war.
And yet you
but
hate Jews so
you could
so
hear everything
much.
In this house. It was not a good house conducive to... I think architecture was really important
right.
for a functioning family life.
Yes.
You got to have the right house to have ease and quiet
I agree.
And space. We didn't have it. And
God,
I came to a certain age. My parents wanted me out.
I can only imagine.
They took me back in several times.
What it was like for each of you to be with the other. Like all of you, I feel, would have struggled to be with each other.
It was struggle is not a bad word.
Yeah. And your parents as well. With each other.
Struggle.
Them with you. You with them. And you, your brother was gone, right?
Them with each other. Brother was there.
Okay.
And this, we had a very neurotic dog. And who can say why?
Yeah, I wonder.
Sooty.
Yeah, you do not strike me as a family of boundaries. Like of good boundaries. Like it doesn't surprise me that you could hear through the wall.
No, as a family, I think we definitely go more for recrimination than boundaries.
In what way?
Why?
Yeah.
A lot of that.
Oh, God. At least in the house I grew up in, I was sent up to live in the attic with like a little Anne Frank. My father finished... the attic for my stepmother to use it for her art studio.
And then you went, you said, I'm taking the attic.
No, because I didn't want the attic. I wanted to stay in my room. Mm. And I was supposed to go to my brother's room because he moved out and it was bigger than mine. But then my dad, it was too much to put a bathroom up there. And my stepmother didn't want to carry water up and down the stairs for her art, or, you know, like for her brushes.
Yeah.
So he was like, why don't you go live up there? You'll love it. There's it. And I was like, I'm being sent to the attic. And then it was finished and it was incredible. And I would smoke weed up there and no one could smell it. And I would just, I did whatever I wanted. And
live
it was
in the dream.
Oh, I still, when I go to that house, my brother lives there now. I go up there and I just stand there and I remember how great it was to be away from everybody in the house.
We had a tiny little, it was a room, but it was very strange. It was like a guest room that was big enough for a bed and almost nothing else. But it had big shelves above, a single bed.
Mm-hmm.
Big shelves above the single bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I made the move there to go. Because every other room in the house had sliding doors.
Right.
Wooden, thin sliding doors.
Like a Chinese, like a Japanese.
It's like a Japanese.
That's thing. Crazy.
Yeah.
There's no privacy in that.
No. My parents had... a proper door, but we had sliding doors.
That's horrific.
That's just how it was.
It's like a TV room.
Yeah.
So this was the only room that had a door that actually shut.
It had a door that shut, and it had, you know, I could. It had room for the piano. It was the piano, the books, the bed, a little desk for studying.
And you played the piano in there.
I did.
Yeah.
I would just play the piano for hours. I'd do other things too. But I really, a lot of my intellectual formation happened in this very cramped.
Wow.
I missed that room.
Yeah. That's interesting. I mean, I just can't even imagine what the McCann household must have felt like. I think I would have lost my mind. Because it just...
Yeah, we had a good time.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you actually?
Yeah, actually.
Okay.
More or less. I mean, what is youth? What is good? What's a time? Yeah. I don't think I had a particularly unhappy childhood.
Although people
kept accusing me of being unhappy.
I mean...
I was accused of being an unhappy child constantly.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't imagine you having a happy childhood. I would guess you just had no... awareness of it, just like how when you went to the sauna after, because when I saw you in the sauna in the Jimjilbang, we kind of ran into each other, and this is in the clothed section. You looked so relaxed. I almost didn't recognize you. And I would imagine that you never feel that way.
It's wrong to be relaxed.
Right. So I don't know, think that you would know if you had a happy childhood or not. I don't think you would know how you feel at any given moment, well, aside that's hungry, bizarre. Queasy.
Eve, we have to trust people to know how they feel.
Really?
Yes. How do you feel? Though they obviously don't. We have to give people that much.
Well, I don't. I think most people don't know how they feel.
You're a fascist. That's a fascist impulse.
Well, I'm not saying I'm going
to
like
the masses are waiting to be told how to feel.
No.
Also, that could be a good poem.
Write it.
The masses are waiting to be told how to feel. Look at my uniform. Lick my boot heel.
I was thinking
tasty
more
tasty boot heel. Yum, 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 yum.
Take a deep breath. Hey, touch your toes.
Because we're comedians, people are calling out comedians at the moment who don't respond to the Jimmy Kimmel.
Are they calling people out who don't
respond? I've seen people go like, anyone who doesn't call this out as a terrible abuse is complicit in it.
I have not called a thing out. I've only shared Tim Dillon and I've shared Tucker Carlson.
Tim Dillon's was great. Yeah. I think Tim Dillon said everything that I would want to say.
Yeah. What do you think of it?
You know, is it evil for Trump to have ruined late night?
But that's not the way. That's such
is
a,
it evil?
That's such a
is
weird way to
it's
phrase
wrong.
It.
It's wrong. But here's what I would phrase it as the next thing.
That's not
I think
that's
it's
not
also evil for the current crop of late night hosts to have butchered it themselves 10 years ago.
No, you're just focusing on such a James McCann
lens. Once you
lens.
Become the propaganda wing of one side of politics,
it's not
you
the propaganda.
Cease to be. It is. They all are.
The point is that you're allowed to say it when you are not making laws. You can say whatever you want. That's the whole point. They're not in government.
There was a sense of they were in government for actually a lot of it.
No, they weren't. Kimmel's not in government.
No, I'm saying, well, I mean, Jon Stewart was going to the White House and hanging out.
He's not in government, though.
No, I'm saying the Democrats were in government while they were on the air. And but, I would say but, that from Obama on, it was nonstop
politicized
Democrat talking points on those shows.
But
they
are not.
They were taking their cues from the government.
They are not. They don't have overall authority. They are not legislators. They are not executive branch members. They are not part of the judiciary. They do
sound like a certain Oklahoma.
They do not have any
Oklahoma
actual
charter school argument.
They don't have because we listened to the Supreme
Before
Court yesterday.
The Supreme Court.
Of course. But if you really are getting down to it, because you're Australian and so you're a comic and you're like, but what is it? It's a crime to ruin late night. It's like, shut up. It's actual censorship from the government, putting pressure.
Yes.
The FCC putting pressure on.
And that's wrong. And I'm against
it. It's not that it's wrong. It's a breach of free speech in the country.
Right,
it's not,
I'm
that,
saying
it's not that it's morally
it happen,
wrong.
It doesn't happen
it's legally
in a vacuum.
Wrong.
And I'm saying the country has to, you have to have something worthy. If you want to preserve free speech, you have to act in such a way that people actually want that preserved.
No.
People are crying out.
That's the opposite of the truth.
No. I'm not saying for the individual case.
Mm-hmm.
Case by case, yes, the point of free speech is that people can express their, you know, whatever marginal views, and that we are all enriched by hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is that when nonstop the media all around you is a propaganda mouthpiece.
But what about
you,
Fox?
You lose
what
support.
What about Murdoch in Australia?
I'm happy to talk about Murdoch in Australia.
By the way, we have like a couple more minutes.
I'm saying that I don't sense a strong appetite among people in America. I don't see a lot of candlelight vigils for Jimmy Kimmel. And
I think you're wrong about that.
I don't think outside of a very select few there is outrage over this.
I
think that's the shocking thing.
When you talk about candlelight vigils, that's not how we do things. I think people are pretty freaked out. I think that it's actually really scary to Americans. I mean, it's in every newspaper, which doesn't really mean much, but I think that you misunderstand what's important. You saw at the show the other night. You asked people what's more important to you, to be free or to be great.
Yeah.
And you thought you were going to get, especially in Nebraska.
I got what I thought I was going to get.
Really? Because here, people value freedom more than anything.
Well, people equate freedom and greatness. They think we're great because we're free.
Well, they think if I just, if I am free, then I will become. True.
And when I look at that flag, I feel almost a nationalistic orgasm. I see all the inventions. I see all the freedoms. I see the army. I hear music. I see an eagle. I see Yosemite.
But I do think
and,
that...
I see Mr. Rogers. I see Mr. Smith goes to Washington. It all floods in with the flag. I love. You won't find a bigger pro-free speech advocate than I
don't think that's true.
It's true.
I think that that's the main thing you don't...
It's true.
And that's the main thing you don't relate to about the U.S.
No, is that I disagree. I think that's why the U.S. has gotten around me. I must dig in here because I love free speech. What I'm saying is I don't think Americans... I'm shocked the extent to which Americans don't really care about it anymore.
People care so much about it. They just don't know that it's actually at stake.
I would say that all through the canceling of people on the right, Jimmy Kimmel included, people on the left, were jubilant.
Yeah, I agree with you. But canceling is different from censoring. It is. It's actually, if the government can come after you and pull your license and close your business or whatever, that's very different from getting fired from your job. And you have recourse.
Constitutionally and legalistically, yes.
But you have recourse to sue your employer.
Yes, but the reason the Constitution has that is to encourage liberality. And an environment in which people... That's the spirit of the law, is that you actually have a free society where people can speak their minds.
Against the government. That's what it's about.
Against everybody.
But the Bill of Rights is because the government... It's to stop the government from taking your right to speak freely.
I don't think when they wrote the Constitution, they thought that eight men would control all the media outlets.
Yeah, whatever. But it doesn't matter. There's so many things that they didn't think that we'd have semi-automatic rifles. But it's...
Sure.
You know what I mean? But it's like...
I mean, it's...
There's a million
things.
This is
a serious point. What time do we actually have to board?
We board at like 12:30-ish.
Okay,
and it's 12:15.
We're absolutely fine. We should dig
but
in.
But we are about 15 minutes from where we have to go.
But we have then half an hour.
Yeah.
I like to cut it fine. This is a good conversation.
By the way, I felt bad that I said shut up before, but I didn't really mean shut up.
Oh, I'm telling you to shut up.
All
frequently.
The time.
We're doing it. We're having a beautiful
back and forth.
A beautiful, free, and fair discussion. If you read the Federalist Papers, they're very clear what they want for the country. And the Federalist but they want competition. They want the best and brightest. They want a non-sectarian unity for all of the colonies. And they want the spirit of freedom kindled within people's hearts. You know, how do we get the best president? By having all these people to choose from and a fair competition to find the best man in the land to lead us for however many years. That, put aside the like actual constitutional ins and outs of how the country works. That's what they wanted for the country. That's the environment that they wanted. And starting with the left over this cancel culture thing, and if we wanted to get really fussy about it, we could say like, yeah, the right was doing it in the '50s in the Red Scare.
Of course,
like there's a history of actual, but the left, I'm saying, cut away at goodwill that the right preserved for free speech. And what I'm seeing now is a lot of people going, is it hypocritical that we were angry when our people were getting fired and we felt the government was coming after them, and now we're happy that Jimmy Kimmel is gone? Yes. And it's fine to be hypocritical because this has become a war. That's what I'm seeing people saying.
I think some
from
people...
From the remaining free speech absolutists, they're gone.
I think that some people are still freaked out on the right because they realize the difference, the distinction between what happened then versus what's going on now, because the government wasn't involved. It was like, you know, like corporate this, that, and now it's like, oh, like, because really then Trump came out the next day and said that he thinks that anybody who talks shit about him on TV should have their show pulled.
Yeah.
And that's terrifying because that's Russia. That's, you know, that's North Korea. Well, North Korea, forget it. You don't get your show pulled. You just get killed. You don't even have a show. Yeah. He writes the news in the first place. But
he's got that great lady who loves him.
His daughter, you mean?
That old woman on television who bows deeply in her traditional dress.
In North Korea?
Yeah.
I don't even know about her. I know that he's traveling with his 12-year-old daughter, who's his heir. But I think that I think it was Jon Stewart. Someone said like a week ago that basically it's no longer about left and right. It's about the people who want us to go to war with each other and the people who don't. Because on the left and the right, there are people who are moderate and there are people who are crazy. And I think I tend to be more in the middle.
I would say of Jon Stewart, he's one step back from wanting people to go to war with each other.
But you know what? But
I'm saying Stephen Colbert got on television night after night.
That's how he got the ratings. That's the crazy thing.
Yeah, but
it was like the
baying for civil war.
Well, he said in Trump's first term,
in a roundabout fashion,
he did this monologue that I thought was too far about Trump's mouth being Vladimir Putin's cock holster.
Yes,
which
I
was like,
that.
Oh my God.
How does Putin's cock taste or whatever?
Yeah, something like that. And that was just, it was too much. I mean, and it was funny or whatever, but it was also like, really? Like, this is, like, imagine.
Kate McKinnon got on Saturday Night Live comedy show and earnestly sang Hallelujah.
Crying. I tell you, I felt that though. I
don't doubt it, but at that point. Any pretense that this is...
But the thing about television is it does not have to be impartial. And it doesn't have to be representative of both sides. It's about the ratings.
This is... What you're saying is true.
Yeah.
In terms of how it functions and how they operate as legal entities. But that is not how I think Americans, by and large, in the middle of this country, good, decent people...
Mm-hmm.
Have regarded those big media institutions.
Of course.
I think when that man popped on a suit and told you about the Vietnam War, there was not a sense that he was a bougie shill trying to get ratings.
Right.
But that the news was important and the journalists were here to give us the news.
I don't know that everybody felt that way in the middle of the country.
I think
it might have been more impartial, but I don't think that people...
I don't think a country that didn't believe that could have a movie like Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
I mean, what's her name? Fran Lebowitz... Was it Fran Lebowitz? Someone was talking about going somewhere. Yeah, she was somewhere in the middle of the country. And she gave her license with her name on it for something. And they were like, just something about Jew. Like, but shitty about Jews.
Yeah.
I think that people in certain parts of the country just thought the coasts were just full of dirty Jews and black people and this and that. I don't think that just because, you know, I think it's like the country's never been
dirty, but there were a lot.
But if you read like On the Road, people weren't, it wasn't harmonious even then. It was more peaceful in terms of violence and stuff like that. But there was never one perspective. It really was coastal elites.
I was never in America before a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And we weren't alive for a lot of this. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Your battery died? You want my tripod?
Well, we can continue, and I'll just put on a nice backdrop.
An image of a catamaran floating in the water.
Here's what I would say before we run away.
Yeah,
is I look at the art that comes out of that period.
Yeah,
that's made
out of what McCarthyism era.
Oh my goodness! I mean, I would say from the from early Frank Capra.
Mm-hmm.
Through to...
Was that 50s?
Rocky.
Okay, 50s to 80s?
Rocky being a callback.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a wholesomeness, and it doesn't sing of propaganda to me. These are like real artistic pictures that seem to come from a time that's somehow more whole and trusting.
I mean, the problem...
They're not hokey. There is hokey shit.
Yeah,
there's a lot of hokey shit out there. But when you watch, this is why it's so enduring. I think when you watch It's a Wonderful Life,
right?
You go, oh, there was at least one man in Frank Capra who really believed in decency and America and freedom and the good and community and like all these beautiful, all the ideals. Something lives in him in that.
But it's funny. I hate using this because it's such a cliche now, but that's only because he didn't include any of the groups. He didn't include Jews in that movie. I'm just saying.
Doesn't always have to come back to Jews.
No, but I'm using Jews and then black people.
They do have a black person. They have a server.
Right.
She loves them. They hug her. They banter.
It is so cliche to be like, but that's because, but it's true in the sense of when the camera was off, he would go back to the studio and go, these fucking Jews won't let me make my movie for what I want.
Why wouldn't they?
Because they were the... Why did Hollywood get so big? Because the Jews were running it. Because they knew what they were doing with the money.
Cinema is quite an exciting thing for people to go and see.
Right, but I guess my point is just like, you... you can believe anything. You can look at this and go, oh, it's in black and white. It must be the truth. But you talked to my dad about that time.
Yeah.
It wasn't wholesome. I mean, he was living in New York City, but he talks about going into a bar to sell newspapers when he was like 5 or 8. And this drunk woman getting close to him, and she gave him a whole dollar. And she goes, will you pray for me? Will you go to jail? Will you pray for me? But like, just the sad. There's so many stories he has that he thinks are funny of watching a man carry a woman who was passed out from the bar up the fire escape of the building to rape her.
Like, no
which,
doubt.
By the way, she was saved.
I would say terrible stuff happening all the time.
I guess I'm just saying it's you can't believe the window of the past. You can't believe it just because they made good art. They make good art now too.
But here's what I would. I think the impulse of the people trying to make the Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
And the Brady Bunch remake.
Right.
Is the same. Just nice family entertainment.
But you watch This Is Us, which
I'll make this point about the Brady Bunch.
Okay.
But if you the remake of the Brady Bunch,
mm-hmm.
where they remain,
I didn't see it.
Well, this is the joke. It's in the '90s.
Okay.
But they remain.
This, oh, I did like, see it. Of course, I did. 60s yeah, yeah.
Family, who right, are right, silly right. and wholesome, and it's like it looks ridiculous in the '90s to be that wholesome.
I mean,
family.
I loved it, but I don't remember experiencing it.
I think they're making a firm. Countercultural point about
the past
that's something I'm not saying I don't know how big it was. Of course, there were abuses and racism
mm-hmm.
and sexual crime,
yeah.
But also, just looking at the art, I think we have to say that people there was a belief in America and its values among at least a segment of the population who were consuming that stuff and making it that's not there now.
And yes, I would
that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, okay. I can say, yeah, I think that most of us are, what's the word? Not disenfranchised,
disengaged, disenchanted.
Disenchanted. With what's going on. And it sucks. And I think that's a lot to do with social media.
Yeah.
I think that it shows you everybody's experience and it amplifies it. And it's like being at a party and like 40 people are really enjoying themselves.
Yeah.
And then like 2 people in the corner go, this sucks.
Yeah.
But those people now have like really good lighting and really good, like they have a lot of engagement and they're constantly churning out things so that you're like, oh, everybody's
the happy people are just, you know, they're quite busy having a good time.
Right. But now we have to, and look, I'm not saying that we shouldn't care about Gaza or whatever, but I'm saying it's like, you can't.
It's incredible. It only took us 49 minutes for Eve once again to discount
but I'm saying,
what's
but that's,
happening in the Middle East.
What I'm saying is that you can't hold all of the world's problems and then continue to live a good life.
Yeah.
The more attention you pay to all the horrible things, the worse your life will be. Well, and you can't fix it together.
I think that's a beautiful conclusion as we tell everybody, other than for listening to this show, to switch off. This has been the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. I love you. I miss you. I want you. I need you. Come to those shows. There's a Patreon as well.
I'll be there.
Eve will be there for some of them.
I'll be there for all.
But for those
in spirit,
who
I'll be there.
Don't like Eve, there will be some shows she's not there to.
And you'll have to roll the dice.
And we always need an opportunity to go to the toilet. I love you.
Oh, I was like, I don't understand. And then I just got it. Hey.
No, come see. Eve is doing wonderful things. Eve, I love you.
I love you too.
God bless you. Let's get on this flight.
Let's go.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.